Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. And today, we want to continue on, put on the whole armor, the part 2. Hallelujah. We're going to do a very long reading today. The first reading is from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. We are reading from the verse 23 all the way to verse 48. A very long reading, and I want you to follow. If you want to join me, we can all read from the screen. Let's go. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath, by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same word, so David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." You have to be a problem solver. The world is always looking for people who solve problems. Anytime you build your mindset to solve problems, you put yourself in the position of gaining certain kind of opportunities that people will never have. Don't chase money. Build yourself to be a problem solver. Not knowing that it was possible that people's family generation can be exempted from tax by accomplishing one task. Can you just believe it? So be a problem solver. The king is, so everybody will be subjected to the same conditions of service because you are somebody who solves problems that nobody can solve. You will always be what? Exempted. We are all not equal. Never think that in this world there is something like we are equal. No. There are levels, there are statuses, there are hierarchies. That's why they treat people differently. Don't be surprised that I'm treated different from you. You and I are not equal. We have to accept that truth. Do you get it? And shouldn't be offended when you go to a place and you see that some people are treated better than you. If you want that better treatment, then build yourself to the status that the people have reached. So this is one of the typical example. Okay, now let's continue the reading. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the army of the living God?" And then the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." Continue. We'll talk about this another time. For time's sake, let's move on. And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Move on. Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant would go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his what? Youth." These are realities of life. I said, let's move on. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it." Let's move on. Verse 36. We will get there soon. "Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the army of what? The living God. Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the power of the lion and from the power of the bear he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. He convinced Saul. You see, this is interview, job interview. Most of you, when you go for interview, you fail because you don't have anything to convince the people that we can do the job. Saul saw him and said, you are a youth. And Saul didn't lie, because how can a 17-year-old boy want to stand against a man who has fought for many years in war? You must give a very tangible conviction what for us to give you this job to do. And after David read his CV, Saul said, as for me, I've not killed lion, no. I've never killed bear. And if you guys have killed lion and bear, of course, let's leave you to give out a chance. So please, always remember that your opportunity is always strong on the CV you carry. It can pass by you if you don't build yourself. Amen? God. So Saul clothed David with his armor and put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with this, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, rowdy and good looking. David, a fine boy. That's one thing I can guarantee God. He's always interested in fine boys and fine girls. Have you seen men of God? So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? Yes, you are. That you came to me with sticks. You have to treat your problem as how you want the problem to see itself. David made Goliath confess who he was. He said, am I a dog? That's how David saw him. He saw him as a dog. You are just barking. Let me shut you up. The other people saw him as a terror. David just saw, which kind of dog is making noise here? And you know how we treat dogs? Just pick a stone and then just shut it up. And in fact, it really got to feel a Goliath, because the way the guy came to him and approached him, he approached him so casual like a dog. Hallelujah. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Even though he saw David as a youth, he still made sure that the battle was not carnal. Do you get it? Even though he saw David as a youth, he still doesn't make it. Goliath didn't take it as a carnal battle. Sometimes, because we think we have experience and we stand very well, when situation comes, we thought, this one, I can handle it. There is nothing like normal, or let me say, this is a simple thing. Always have your strength from the spiritual. Goliath could have just not, he cursed David by his gods. He resorted to the spiritual to make sure that he deals with David well. Let's move on. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field. After cursing him, now he tells him what he's going to do to him. Verse 4. And then David said to the Philistine, you came to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I came to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Verse 47. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. You always have to confront your problem and tell your problem what you are going to do to it. The problem is telling that you are going to die. You also have something to say to your problem, your situation, the challenge. You see, that's where the kingdom is. Where we are in the speaking realm. Your problem is speaking something to you. Poverty is speaking something to you. You will die. You will die as worse as your father. You die as worse as... You also have to tell that I'll finish you. I'll disgrace you. I'll embarrass you. I'll do this to you. You know, you can't intimidate me. You intimidate me, I intimidate you. Aura for aura. Are we on the same page? Let's move on. I'll strike you ahead. And this day, I'll give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the bed. See, you... When, when Goliath cursed him, he said, I'll give you David. David said, I'm not only coming for you.
I'm making sure that I bring the entire army. I'll serve the animals till they don't enjoy. You are just targeting me. I'm not only killing. So David looked beyond Goliath. His agenda was to make sure that he finished the Philistines that day. The guy is so bold. And I'm going to show you why David is as bold as a lion. I'll give your carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beast of what? The earth. That all the earth may know that there is a God in what?
In Israel.
Verse 47. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's. Nanado's anthem. Nanado. This is where his name is coming from. The battle is the Lord. How did he save him? And he will give you unto our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. Hallelujah. Have you enjoyed the reading? Oh, it's so nice to read the Bible. Second reading, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 to 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 to 17. Still our team scripture around the whole thing we are doing. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you would be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Last reading. Psalms chapter 11, verse 3. We are all going to read together. Psalms chapter 11, verse 3. One, two, let's go. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? One more time. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? In our previous message concerning put on the whole armor, we built our understanding on two areas. Number one, we looked at the concept of clothing and I spoke about the armor of light, right? So I want us to do a little recap over there, then we move into today's aspect of put on the whole armor. God willing, next week we will finish with put on the whole armor. Then we can now move on to the next sub-series, the battlefields. Okay? And we're going to look at the battlefields. We are not going to finish. We are at war this year. I'm believing God that somewhere in the middle of next year we can bring it to an end. Hallelujah. Because as I sit to study more and pray into it, I see that there is so much to do on the issue of warfare. And I know that you are being built systematically to be able to what? Prevail in every warfare. Even with how far we have come, I'm so confident that you are grounded in the basics of what? Spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. Okay. So on the matter of clothing, we found out why in the New Testament there was a continuous instruction in the new on the matter of put on. You remember that when we started the whole episode on put on the whole armor as last 2 weeks, the first thing I said was that one of the instructions in the Bible, you know that in the New Testament we have over 1,000 instructions to the believer. Never think that the believer is not instructed. We are instructed. In fact, we have more instructions than those of the Old Testament. If you check the Old Testament, they have only around 700 to 800 commandments from, that is in the book of Torah, from Exodus to Deuteronomy. When you take from Romans all the way to Revelation, or let me even keep it at 3 John, you will find out that we have over 1,000 instructions, 1,000 commandments. The commandment love, which is the central theme of the New Testament, is broken down into 1,000 commandments. One of those commandments is put on. So if you read through the whole New Testament epistles, you find out that there is always an instruction for the believer to what? To put on. So we said that one of the reasons why we had that concept put on was because we are dealing with the issue of what? Nakedness. You remember that aspect? The issue of what? Nakedness. And the key thing was that we even found out that even God is not naked. In the book of Psalms, we find that God clothed himself with what? With light. And if God, who created us in his image and likeness, clothed himself, what do you think he will do to you? He will surely clothe you, right? So the very moment that man, by his rebellion, made himself naked, as Adam admitted, he said, I heard your voice and I ran to hide because I was what, naked. God still clothed man with what? The skin of what? An animal. Because clothing is very essential. In fact, God who created us clothed himself. So every human being is always responsive to the matter of what? Clothing. And the concept put on over there means what? Clothe yourself. As I explained the other time, I want to hurry and move on to what we're going to do today, because we have a lot to talk about today. Therefore, a man's rebellion couldn't even stop him to be what? Being naked. Now, nakedness is a dreadful thing to every woman, now every man, because it makes you vulnerable and exposed. We talked about this last time. That nakedness makes you what? Vulnerable and what? And exposed. And this situation, you should never find yourself in this kind of situation in warfare. You should never be vulnerable and exposed as far as you are involved in what? Warfare. That's why Paul instructed us to put on the whole armor. Because the moment you are naked, you are what? Vulnerable and you are what? Exposed. And you don't stand a chance. As long as we can see you exposed and vulnerable, the one who sees that can easily what? Prey on you. Hallelujah. So anytime you want to attack, the most important thing you look for is the vulnerability of your enemy and how best your enemy is what? Is exposed. Hallelujah. In warfare, it is very dangerous. That's why Paul said we should what? Put on the whole armor, because nakedness is a dreadful thing that makes you vulnerable and what? And exposed. Hallelujah. Now, on the concept of the armor of light, we learn that it is the relevant condition or the ecosystem by which the armor of God becomes efficient and what? Effective. Are you following me? We learn that the armor of light is the ecosystem or the seed condition by which the very armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 become efficient and effective. In other words, if you put on the armor of God, which is in Ephesians chapter 6, and that armor is being put on in the absence of the armor of light, you will find out that even though you have the armor of God on you, it can't save you because it cannot work. What makes it efficient and effective is that it is in the armor of what? Light. So the armor of light is the ecosystem or the condition that makes the armor of God effective and efficient. And we looked at the armor of light in details as per the last message we talked about concerning the armor, put on the whole armor. So the first thing that the believer put on is the armor of light. When you put on the armor of light, now you can put on the armor of God. Then you can see that the armor of God now can be able to what? Work efficiently what? And effectively. Hallelujah. So always put on the what? The armor of what? Light. So remember I said that a believer said, I had faith in this situation, and what happened? The question is, we check your armor of light. Do you have the armor of light? Amen? 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 Are we on the same page? Good. So, that is what we did last time, which is last 2 weeks, when we met on the out, put on the whole armor. Today, we are going to look at the armor of God. And we want to start with something that is very important. Now, when you read the Ephesians chapter 6, the verse 14, you will find out that Paul started listing the armor of God. Is that not so? Now, when I was studying it, I was a little bit confused, because it is believed that historically he was in prison whilst he was writing the book of Ephesians. He was in prison. And in prison, he looked at the soldiers who were what? Guiding him or protecting him, to which he was able to use to what? Write what? The armor. Is that not so? Now, if you are looking at somebody in the order of what? Listening. Don't you do top down or up down? It's either we are doing top down or down up. Is that not so? Are you following me? But what was the first armor that Paul mentioned? Look at the first three armor he mentioned. He said, verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist. So he started from where? The waist. Then he moved on to what? Put on the breastplate. Where? Your chest. Then the third one he mentioned is what? Your feet. Which kind of disorder arrangement is this. Has it occurred to you that if you look at how Paul presented the armor, it doesn't look like it's something that was done orderly. According to how we see things logically, you see that it should either be the feet, then we come to what? The waist, then we come to what? The breastplate, then we come to what? The helmet, then we can now talk about what? The ones that we hold, the shield, and then the one which is hanging on the cloth. Paul never said so. The question is, why this happened? And that's what we're going to look at. Now, what we want to do today is that we want to look at the classification of the armor of God. The armor of God we see over there, Paul was presenting something that has a logical sequence if you do a critical study of it. And what is this logical sequence that Paul was trying to give us? Paul's listing of the believer's armor has a logical progression, which is the movement from the foundation of the soldier, the soldier's preparation towards his offensive weapon, which is the word of God. What Apostle Paul was listing is talking about the foundational preparation into what? An offensive battle. And I'm going to establish that to you. Amen. Therefore, the first three armor that Paul listed are essentially the soldier's basic preparation. So before you go into warfare and you are dressing up, the first three armor Paul listed was meant to do the basic preparation, essentially to prepare you basically, foundationally for warfare. The first three armor, which is belt, breastplate, and shoe. And Paul called them truth, righteousness, and gospel of peace. So he was not just haphazardly mentioning them. He was trying to lay a logical sequence of how foundations are laid into warfare. So when the believer puts on the armor of light, now let me show you this. The armor is not a clothing. It is put on a cloth. That's why I said the armor of light. That is the first clothing we put on. If you have watched ancient movies for long, especially the Roman movies, you see that they wear a long gown. Do you get it? They wear a gown before they start putting on the armor. You get it? So that gown inside there is what we call the armor of light. It is that which the rest of the armor is what? Fastened upon. Are you following me? Now, Paul is telling you that it is not about how they wear it. It is about what they put on, what they do. So he said the first three he mentioned lays the foundation for the soldier to be able to what? Step into an offensive what? Battle. Now, the other three, Paul introduced them as equipment. The other three armor are what? Equipment. Equipment used in active what? Engagement. In other words, those ones, you don't use them until there's an active what? Engagement. But this one, you wear them ready for anything that is going to what? Happen. So you see that when soldiers are going to war in those Asian movies, mostly you see that their helmet is in their armpits, they are holding their shield, and their sword is in the what? The moment the battle line is drawn, the first thing they do is what? How many of you have watched Troy? How many of you have watched Troy? Oh, we have not watched Troy. Go and watch Troy. It's a powerful movie that will teach you about life lessons. You see the battle between the prince and what is the name of that guy again? Achilles, right? When he killed his cousin and he came that you think you are fighting the wrong person, it is me now. See that the moment they are about to fight, they all put on their helmet. Is that not so? So the last three that Paul mentioned was for active engagement. So that armor is not engaged until there's what? An active what? Battle. So Paul was not mentioning things in this order. He was trying to show you how the armor works, the one that lays the foundation, and the ones that helps in active what? Engagement. Are we on the same page? Amen. So the progression is being properly prepared and secured. So the first three is to do the job of what? Preparing you and securing you to stand against the enemy before actively what? Responding to him. So the last three is used to respond to the enemy. The first three is used to prepare and secure you to make sure you are out standing. So when we are studying the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, we are looking at the first three of the armor that help us to what? Stand. And the last three help us to what? Actively what? Engage. Are you on the same page? So today, we'll be looking at the first three. We'll be looking at what? The first three. Are you ready? What it means is that your dressing or the whole armor of God begins with the first three: truth, breastplate, and what? The feet of the gospel of peace. If those three things are not there, you are not prepared. Faith can do nothing for you. Are you following me? Faith will do nothing. Because what makes you stand is this three. So in approaching the armor of God, we have to understand that you must first of all make sure that this three is well secured. Then now you can use the other three. Now let's move into it. What has this first three talks about? The first three are essentially the soldier's basic preparation. That is, the first three pieces can be understood as establishing the believer's basic spiritual posture. Write that one down for me. It established the believer's basic spiritual posture. Theophilus said, what is the posture of your heart? There is a posture that the believer must assume in warfare. What helps the believer to assume that posture is what the first three pieces of the armor does. And it stabilizes you before what? Active engagement. So before you start engaging in warfare, what gives you the posture to be able to what? Stand in the warfare is what? The first three. Let me paint a picture to you. You see, before they start to engage in warfare, because these days we are fortunate to not see this kind of stuff. So it's only movies that can help us to understand them. You see that they form a line. Are you following? And then they take a stand. They form a line. They take a stand. When you are about, before you come to, you see that some of them will use their shield and all those, but you see that they form a line. What helps them to stand and form the line is because of the armor they put on. They have a posture. They are ready for war. It's the first three. Okay. Now, what does it mean when we talk about spiritual posture of the believer? By definition, write this down. By definition, this is a general definition. A posture is a state or condition at a given time, especially with respect to capacity or capability in a particular circumstance. A condition or a state of a person that tells the person's capability at a particular circumstance, in a particular circumstance, is posture. So, you see, when you watch boxing and I don't like boxing, okay? Beating somebody is not something I like. But when you watch boxing, okay, you can even tell the one who lose the fight by how the person even stand. True of us. The condition of the person. Imagine they put up a small boy against Malto and Cabela in a boxing ring. When you look at the posture of how Malto will stand, you know that this fight he has lost it. So your capabilities can be revealed. Your posture reveals your capabilities in circumstances. So when we know that you can be able to deal with something, it is the posture you assume. Are you following me? That's the general definition of the concept posture. So when you're talking of the believer's posture, we are talking about the condition or the state of the believer that reveals that the circumstance he's found himself, he can be able to what? Prevail or not. So when you are caught up in a warfare, you are caught up in, let's say, family curses. What proves that you can be able to prevail in that family cases is the posture, the condition that reveals your capabilities. So if we look at your spiritual posture, that is why every serious man of God, you have these spiritual situations and conditions, the first thing you look at is, what is your posture? If the posture is right, you know that, oh, this one, let's pray. If it's not right, he has to fix the posture. Because your posture will tell your capabilities and how you can be able to what? Deal in any circumstances. If your posture to exam is like you're already scared, what shows that we are going to pass that paper? Hallelujah. Now, the believer's posture, the Bible calls it in a simple word, stand. The posture of the believer is called what? Stand. And this stand is revealed in four dimensions. And these four dimensions is what the first three equipment of the armor produces. These four stands is what the equipment, the first three equipment or the first three weapons what produces. Number one, the first posture or the first dimension of a believer's posture, which is stand, is what we call established. The believer is standing because he's established. And that is a posture that you must have in warfare. What does this mean? The believer stands on what Christ has accomplished and on the truth of God's word. He is not trying to create a position. He is occupying an established position in Christ. Are you following me? So the posture of the believer, the first thing you see about that posture is that he is standing on an already established what? Protocol. When you go for ceremonies and formal engagement and they have to address people, when the first person addressed everybody, the rest of the people said, standing on the what? Established what? Protocol. That is the posture assumed. The first revelation of a believer's posture is that he is not trying to create a position to stand. He already stand or not, the position Christ has already established for him. That is the position of what? A conqueror. That is why we say that we don't fight from a defeating point. We fight from a point of victory. So you're already standing on the victory that Christ has already what? Established. Now, let me give you the first reading we did. The reason why we did that long reading is because I want to reveal to you how David beat Goliath by spiritual posture. Are you following me? So let me reveal to you how this was revealed in David's battle. Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 45 to 47. You see, most times when believers are approaching situations, the posture they assume is that they are trying to create their own what? Position. You don't have any position. You are standing on an already established position. What is that position? Christ seated at what? The right hand side of Father, above all what? Principalities. What is your fear about? So you are not coming against the situation because of who you are. You are coming at that situation because of where you are coming from. Listen to what David said to his posture of being established. Listen to what he said to Goliath. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and with what? A spear and with what? A javelin. What did he say? Where is he coming from? Where is David coming from? Let's go together. Church, let's read. Uh-huh. But I come to you in the name of what? The Lord of what? Hosts. The first thing that shows that a believer understands warfare is telling the devil where he's coming from. We call it establishing identity. That's why in resolving spiritual conflict, the first thing is what? Establish identity. It's a posture. It's a revelation of your posture, your condition, and the state by which you are confronting a circumstance. He said, you come with me with spear and what? But I am standing on the what? An already established protocol, which is what? The Lord of hosts. Nobody conquered him in war. He never called any name of God, but he said, the Lord of what? Hosts. The leader of the army of Israel. He is the one I am standing upon. So I come on that established what? Protocol. I pray for you. You see, when you make the devil know you are coming from. Jesus has already defeated him. So if you are standing in that victory that Jesus already meted on him, the same principles, the same method, or so forth, the same ideologies, the same weapons that Jesus used on him to finish him, it is the same thing you are standing upon. Do you think he will come close to you? Your posture alone. Say, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have what? Defiled. That, he didn't say that I'm coming because I've killed lions and bears. He established the protocol. Quick. So the first thing that reveals that the believer is standing, the posture of the believer, is that the standing reveals is what? He's been established. The question, what are you established on? Your certificate. Do you know that some people's position of approaching a situation is because they have gone to school? Because they know a medical doctor. Oh, malava granda sulakaya. If the reason why you are applying for a job is because you believe in protocol of men, then you don't know what you are even standing on. You don't have a stand. Who has the biggest protocol in the world? It's not God. I beg, oh, let me ask you. Simple question, though. Who linked up Esther to the king? Oh, who has that protocol? Esther was an orphan, became a queen. Who organized that protocol for her? You'll be here. That's why I tell you, if you know where you're coming from and you are convicted to apply to one of the, what is the company that you always pass by that you want to apply to? I like that. You want to work in Bank of Ghana and you are convicted. Your first protocol, your first posture is not because of who is there. It's because of who you stand upon. Ah. That is how we make it. That is how we make it. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? So David was already stood on, David stood on an established position. That's where he was coming from. The world will always ask you, where do you come from? It is not a simple myself that they taught you. It is a serious statement of life. Life will always ask you, where do you come from? Where do you come from? You must answer that question. And you must answer that question to know that you are coming from an established protocol that no system has been able to defile. I pray for you. May you have the right posture. May you have the right posture. So I said the first three armor, I'm going to show how they establish this posture. But the first revelation of the posture of the believer as stand is what? Established. The second one is secured. The believer's posture does not only show what he's established on. The believer's posture also shows that he's secured. The believer is properly prepared and protected by the armor of God. The believer is never standing out exposed. The posture of the believer does not only tell where he's coming from or what he's standing upon or the foundation upon which he's doing what he's doing. It also shows that he's secured. Fully secured. Let me give you a revelation what we read, our first reading. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 34 to 37. Let me show you. The believer must always know that he is secured. And that's why the armor you put on is an armor that shows that you are secured. There is no vulnerability. There is no exposure for you. But David said to Saul, listen to what he said. When, you see, Saul questioned David on how he can be able to defeat Goliath. Why are you secured against an experienced fighter? Do you get it? How are you going to be able to put down an experienced fighter of this nature? Prove to me that you are secured. So that I do not say that I, the king, send a young lad to what? To his death. So how can I feel that, oh, I am guaranteed that you are secure, you are not going to die? Are you following me? What shows that the believer is guaranteed that the warfare is in, it will not kill him? See, there are certain things, David said, yet though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, there are shadows and valleys of death. But what will make you come out is what secured you whilst you were going through. So the king was not worried about him going to fight. He wanted to know that David can prove to him. Listen to David's testimony. He said, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock. Read. Let's go. I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. How was I able to do this without not a lion or a bear killing me? How? Let's go. Verse 37 will show you. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Can you see how he has put them? And how was he able to prevail over them? Look at his security. See, he has defied the army of what? The living God. Verse 37. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me. Oh, the Bible said the Lord is a strong tower. David knew that the Lord was a strong tower. From the paw of a lion and from the paw of a bear, he would deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, now what? Go. He saw that the guy was secured. And where was his security? In God. The reason why the lion and the bear couldn't kill him was because the Lord was a strong tower. He ran into him and he was safe. That is why David didn't fear anything, because he was guaranteed 100% safety. David never said, it's because I saw a tree, I saw this thing, I built a tunnel and I ran into it and the lion couldn't come after me. He said, the Lord who delivered me. See, sometimes when you're facing certain situations, all that you know is that God has already, God is always busy delivering you. So the posture of the believer must also reveal that he is what? Secured. Don't make it look like you some of the song. Who told you? You are saved. What is your fear? So people say, if you pray for witches, they'll come and attack you. I'm waiting for the day I'll pray for one that will come and attack me. I'm secured. So I confront them with all impunity, knowing very well that the Lord who delivered me last year. Sometimes when you're going to write exam, they tell, hey, this paper is difficult too. Please, did you fail WASI? Did you fail WASI? Level 100, did you fail? Is it level 300 that you fail? Keep on admitting that. The Lord who delivered you from WASI is the same God who delivered you from your level 300 exams, including chartered accounting or chartered whatever, including whatever law, whatever you are writing. You are secured. It's your posture. You must assume it. And that's what the armor offers you. The first three armor, it offers you security. It secures you. And I'm going to prove it to you. The third thing. The posture of the believer that the armor she reveals, those first three armor reveals, is stability, stable. It only does not establish the believer or secure the believer. It also would stabilize the believer. That is why, you see, the Bible says he has given us all things pertaining to life. It's not lie. If you learn to put on the armor, just even the first three, you are established, you are secured, you are being stabilized. Stability here is the believer refuse to move or to be moved from his position by the enemy's pressure, which comes through a deception, accusations, or circumstances. This is the point where we call steadfastness. See, the steadfastness of the believer is because of the armor he has. What makes the believer steadfast, unmovable, abounding, is because he has an armor. That armor's job is that it holds the believer out stable. You can't move the believer. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7, having done all things, what? Stand. What he's talking about is that armor, that element of the armor that makes sure that nothing moves you. No circumstances. Let me show you David. Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23 to 26. Let's go. 1 Samuel chapter. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by the name, coming out from what? The armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. Verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully what? Afraid. Those who have fought for years in experience of battle were running. Watch this guy, David. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to what? Defy Israel. And it shall be that. Let's move on to the verse 26. Look at how David did. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised what? Philistine that he should defy the. When people are running for their life, he's asking for reward. When the Bible says the believer is as bold as a lion, it's because nothing scares a lion. And what makes the believer as bold as a lion is because there is an armor on the believer that stabilizes him, that no intimidation can move him. So the storm can rise and roll and roll and roll, and the believer will stand and watch. This is what Joseph said, devil, do your worst. Are you done? Okay, pack. It's because of, see, when you know that you have put on this armor and you realize them, this is the kind of life you live. Men are running for their life. David is asking for reward for killing him. So the believer will always do things that any ordinary person will not want to do when he has his armor fully hot on. I said, put on the whole armor. Put on the hot whole armor. In the verse 32 of the same chapter, see what he did again. To show that he cannot be intimidated. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. The guy was not intimidated. If you look at the description, do not, that was the first giant to be killed in Israel. When Israel became a kingdom, the first giant that when the kingdom was established was killed, was David who killed it, a 17-year-old boy. Do you know what a giant is? 6 feet, 6 toes, 6 fingers. His shield, men must carry it like a load. And a 17-year-old boy was not moved, intimidated. Why? He is firmly grounded. Nothing moves him. That is the posture of the believer. The believer is stabilized. Nothing moves the believer. Nothing shakes the believer. Let me move on. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Oh, Jesus. The last one is the posture of the believer, which is stand, also show that he's ready. The believer standing does not mean he's passive. He is ready. Standing does not mean being passive. The believer is alert, watchful, prayerful, and ready to respond appropriately to the enemy's wiles. Anytime the believer is standing, is in the right posture, you see that he's always ready for the devil. The devil can never take the believer unawares. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 48, whilst the Philistine decided to move, David also moved. He didn't wait for him. Did you notice that? Let's read. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried. This is what David do. He hurried the rod, ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. The believer is not passive waiting for the devil to come. He always also meet the devil. We always meet at halfway. The posture of the believer is that the believer always is ready, watchful, to meet the devil halfway. So when the problem wants to raise its head, he's already there waiting for you. We take the battle to the enemy's ground. The thing is that your posture is that you don't give what the devil any ground. It's a posture. You don't give him grounds. So once he makes advance, you also will hurry and make advance. You don't run away, you don't back off, you don't retreat. You meet him. It's a posture. And that is an armor. It is in the armor of the believer. That makes the believer do. That's that. Hallelujah. So, the first three armor, as it said that it established the believer's spiritual, the posture we are talking about is these four things I'm talking about. So the truth, righteousness, and the gospel of peace give the believer a spiritual posture. And that posture is seen in four dimensions. The believer is established. The believer is secured. The believer is stable. And the believer is always ready. That's what the first three are models. So you see a believer who is not established, it means that there's a problem with an armor. He has not put that armor on. If you see a believer who is not stabilized, not stable, every situation can move a believer. It also shows that there's a problem with a particular armor. Are we on the same page? Amen. Amen. Therefore, now let's look at this armor. So these four dimensions of spiritual posture is what the first three words armor offers now. So now let's look at them. The first one is the belt, truth. In the posture of the believer, I've mentioned four things. That also, what does truth offer in this posture? Truth offers what we call establishment of what? The believer. The spiritual posture of the believer is determined by truth. The spiritual posture of the believer established is determined by what? Truth. Now, truth, Apostle Paul likened truth to what? Belt. What does the belt mean? The belt is a fundamental, or was fundamental, to the soldier's equipment. It gathered and secures the garment and help make the soldier ready for what? Movement. So when the soldier wears a garment, it is the belt that what? Gather every other equipment on it. Establish what? All other equipment. Thus, the primary function of the belt was to hold the soldier firmly in the right what? Position. Spiritual truth, which is likened to the belt of armor in the believer's what? Armor, gives the believer internal stability, because truth establishes the believer in the realities of God. Truth establishes the believer in God's word. Truth establishes the believer in the gospel. And truth establishes the believer who he is in Christ. John chapter 8 verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. The believer will only know his position in Christ, which is his status, by truth. And do you know what the truth deals with? Deception. So when you see a believer who is established in the word of God, truth, when the devil says that, oh, you will die, and you are establishing the truth, knowing that that is not your portion, that is where you stand. Your auntie didn't marry. You will not marry because it is part of your family. That's what the devil is saying, right? Do you know what will make you to prevail in that battle? You stand in the position, in Christ we marry. What does I say? In Christ we what? We marry. Oh, nobody bought a car in the family. Are you following me? Nobody completed a university. Nobody did this. It is what is in the family. And the devil will come with that. The believer who prevail in that circumstance is the one who knows that, oh, this is not part of the Christian. It is not part of the things that I sign up for as a Christian. Christ was not defeated by any sickness. If it is blood pressure, cancer, whatever, I have not signed up to that. So when the devil is coming, they say, oh, your auntie had it, your grandmother had it, you also have to have a portion of it. You look at him and say, please, where I stand, the protocol established is not part of it. That is what establishes you. So the posture of the believer to say, hey, I'll not take this, is because of what? Truth. You shall know. Not that you shall hear. Not you shall read. You shall what? No. why you are free from the attacks that people, see, I don't know if you're following me. The reason why you are free from the things that some of your friends, family members, and people are suffering is because of the truth you know. The truth is establishing you on a protocol system that to whom Christ has set free is what? Free indeed, nothing. When the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. We are not in any bondage. That truth established in you is why when those family line of attacks are coming, you watch and you laugh. So you come with me with all these funny things, but I also come to you on established protocol that Jesus defeats you. Shame on you. Devil, shame on you. Shame. You are defeated. And that is where I am. You can't do anything to me. When you have this truth, there is no warfare. There is no warfare. The warfare will come. But what will keep you standing is the way you are established. Hallelujah. Therefore, truth gives the believer a fixed reference point, which is what the believer is standing out on. A fixed reference. Why will you say that I will give birth when everybody is buried in the family? What is your reference point? Why will you say I will also be I'll graduate as a doctor? I'll have a doctorate degree. I will travel. I will do this. Whilst everybody has failed in doing it, what is your reference point? That is what the armor of truth will do. You always give a reference to why you are going to what? Prevail. So when you say, oh, thou mountain before me, that says the word of Lord, you shall become a plain land. And I always say that if you have faith like the sea, is the truth that is making you to speak that faith? Your reference point is that Christ is the rock upon which I stand. He didn't fail. Death could not conquer him. Sickness could not conquer him. He never failed. The storms listening to him. Sickness bow. If spirit were cast out, it is that Christ I put on. It is that Christ I stand on. That is the truth. Nothing changes it. That is where I am. So I will surely do all things through Christ. This is not for baby Christians. And these are some of the things you have to pray and encounter. You shall know. He said you shall read. You have to pray to encounter truth, because the moment you encounter truth and you embrace truth, I'll show you how to put it on. I'm going to show you how we put on truth. When you encounter truth and you put truth on, oh, then you realize that whenever the devil challenges you, you have a reference point. Hey, why are you going to read masters? Reference point. This is how I'm going to read my masters. Hey, why do you think you have a good marriage? Your children will not be messed up. My reference point. Why do you think that you are allowed to have $1 million in your account at age 31? My reference point. Oh, see, which kind of believers am I talking to? They are not even shouting amen to it. Oh, you are just following the word. Now, let me make this statement to you. Before you can stand against the devil and his schemes, which is the wiles, you must first be anchored on what is true. Anybody who can beat the schemes and strategies of the devil is a person who is anchored on what is true. If you don't know what an anchor is, you can follow Elder Ike after church. He will take you to show you what anchors are. He will show you. And then you understand what I'm saying. That anybody who can beat the devil is the one whose what life is anchored on what is true. When your life is anchored on what is true, there is nothing that the devil will do. He will beat him hands down. Not anchored on certificate or anchor. Not anchored on what you know. Anchored on what is true. Hallelujah. Are we blessed? Quickly, the breastplate, which is righteousness. So we see that truth establishes you. Is that also? In the posture. The other aspect of the posture, which is you are being secured, is the what? Righteousness breastplate. It protects you. Righteousness is a protective armor. Especially, it protects the vital organs of the believer called what? The heart. The vital organs. See, Paul used righteousness as an equivalent to breastplate because of what it deals with. Righteousness as an armor protects the believer against accusation, guilt, and condemnation. That's what righteousness protects you. And I'm going to explain to you why it's very serious. Romans chapter 8 verse 33 to 34. Follow me. See, when you put on righteousness, okay, what it does as an armor is that it protects you against condemnation, guilt, and what? Accusations. Listen to what the Bible says. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who what? Justifies. The next verse. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who what? Died. And furthermore, is also what? Risen. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also makes intercession for us? For the devil to attack you legally, there must be a cause. So he has to accuse you. That is the cause. Then he must make sure that you are guilty of that cause. Then the condemnation is the penalty for the cause he accused you with. Some of the things, we call them iniquity. The devil can use it. If your grandfather has bowed to idols, there is a way the devil can use that against you. Accusation. And when you are found guilty, then he has right to what? Deal with you. Bring condemnation on you. But that is where righteousness comes in. Malavra no salakaya. When you put on the armor of righteousness, you are secured that the devil have no cause. That's why the Bible said that a curse without a cause shall not what? Stand. There is no curse that they can pronounce against you that will stand. Because there's no a cause. Because of the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Who is that auntie who says that you see? Oh, when righteousness is speaking. He said, who shall lay a charge against God's elect? And who is it that is able to condemn? The Lord maketh intercession. Righteousness has protected us. It secures us. So the believer's oppression of security is because of righteousness. It's an armor. So as I said, there can never be warfare. The devil can do nothing when he has no cause. And he cannot condemn you and he cannot find you guilty. He will not dare. Every warfare, see, when till today we are trying to find out, you see, Israel, let me give you a picture. Modern Israel, you know that he had interest in the land of Gaza. Do you know, you people know that? You don't know. They had interest in the land of Gaza, but they had no cause to take it until 1 October, some few years ago, about 3 years ago, or so, you know, 3 years ago. These Philistines, how do we call them again? Palestinians, right? Invaded the territory of Israel and killed thousands of what? Jewish Israelites. What did they do? Till now, Israel has occupied, and recently I saw that there's a place called Occupy West Bank. They have practically taken that place from them. Do you know why they are advancing what they are doing? They are still standing on that October issue. There is a cause to what? Do what they are doing. If they didn't do that, do you think that Israel would have come after them? That's how the devil works. Whenever he wants to put you down, he has to find a cause. And that cause will make you guilty that nobody can defend you. Then he will now condemn you. But thank God for righteousness. I said, thank God for righteousness. Righteousness has helped us. That is an armor we put on. That when he accuses us, the Lord will ask him, who are you to accuse God's elect? When he wants to condemn us, ask him, who give you permission to condemn who the Lord has not condemned? Put on the armor. And see that there is no condemnation. So the Bible said, what shall stand against Israel? No condemnation. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Therefore, the breastplate protects the believer's spiritual heart from being penetrated by guilt, condemnation and compromise living. You see, there was out of the abundance of the heart, what? A man, what? When the devil is able to feel, penetrate your heart with guilt and condemnation, and yesterday you steal, so what? I'll show you how to put on righteousness and how to keep it on. I'll show you. When the devil is able to make sure that you take off that righteousness, he's gone. Hallelujah. Now, in righteousness, there are two dimensions that we put on. Let me mention it quickly and move on. The first dimension of righteousness we put on is what we call the righteousness received, which is imputed to us by what? Christ. We accept it. So, do you know what I mean? When you lift up your hand and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, righteousness is imputed to you. That righteousness is what? Imputed to you. That righteousness deals against what? Condemnation. That righteousness, you cannot be condemned. It also deals with what? Guilt. Then there's what we call righteousness, what? Practiced. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27. That is to refuse to give the enemy any opening through disobedience. When righteousness imputed to you, you must do everything possible to make sure that you don't give the devil any old door by what? Disobedience. Whenever you disobey, what? You lose alignment. And righteousness means what? Alignment. So the devil always wants to make sure you disobey, then he can have an alignment, then he can now accuse you. When you are not in alignment, when he accuses you, the accusation will begin to what? Speak. Are you following me? So, this is where the Bible said that resist the devil or not. Nor give place to what? The devil. It's righteousness practice. Whenever you are practicing righteousness, the practice of righteousness, being obedient to God in his word, in the statutes of God, what you are doing is that you are giving the devil no place in your life. When God said don't fornicate, you don't do it. Don't steal, you don't do it. The moment you are doing those things, what you are doing is that you are not giving the devil a place. So we always tell people that sin does not destroy God. God is not against you. It is you. The devil wants to find a place. He needs an inch to make it a kilometer. As long as you keep yourself from sin, you keep yourself holy, what you are doing is that you are denying the devil what? Access, no place in your life. Don't let anybody deceive you. That one thought of alcohol is to give place to the devil. That one night, oh, it's one nightclub. Don't worry, nothing will happen. You are giving place to the devil. Oh, it is just 5 cedis. Don't send the change. You are giving place. If you give place, you have, okay, you stole 5 cedis. Can't we accuse you right now? You may say, oh, it's 5 cedis. No, no, no. Stealing is stealing. Whether it's 5 million or 5 cedis, you have what? You stole it. Oh, we didn't go inside. We just, whatever you do is sexual sin. Whether it entered or it came out or it didn't enter, it's still what? You have given him place. So, let me move on. Hallelujah. Let me move on. Don't give him place. Don't tell you, oh, it's school life. It's not school life. You're lying. The devil wants to find a place. And when he finds his place, do you know what he does? He sows seeds and he leaves. He knows that the seeds will work. When men slept, don't give him any portion of your land. Please, there is no portion. Don't give him any portion of your land. Your financial land, your relationship land, spiritual land, don't give him any portion. Say, and give no place to the devil. It's your armor he's coming for. And your heart is the target. As long as he can penetrate your heart, he has gotten a place. And see, when the devil is able to get a course, your position doesn't matter. If he gets a course to attack you and he's able to condemn you, you are finished. So keep on the breastplate of righteousness. Keep it on. Give the place. Don't give him place. Yes, practice holiness like until they call you Holy Koma Jesus. You are doing it too much. Yes, you are doing it too much. So the devil will not even get 1 centimeter of land in our life. Yes, you don't care. See yourself as the only Christian. You are living. Christianity is not. It's one for himself. Each one. So you are the only Christian. Yes, I'm the only Christian. Each one for himself. Don't mind them. Last one. So we have dealt with what? Second armor. Let's look at the third armor. I said there are three armors that ought to give the believer a spiritual posture, right? So we have dealt with it. The third one is shoes. The gospel of peace. It gives stability and also gives readiness. The gospel of peace. When we look at the next series that God is laying on my heart, I'll talk about the gospel of peace. So I don't want you. When we start with the concept of the Great Commission, I said, as God is leading me. A soldier can have his body protected, but if his footing is unstable, he cannot effectively what? Stand. Therefore, a soldier's footwear gives him what? Stability. You see, when you establish your protocol, are you following me? What the devil will do is that, can I move you from that place? He's very interested in that. Can you abandon that place for once, like how Saul abandoned it and he lost his throne? Someone said, wait. When the people were leaving, Saul said, oh, let me take matters into my own hand. You see, the devil is always interested in making sure that you take matters into your own hands. The only way you not take matters into your own hands is when your feet is prepared. There is preparedness of what? The gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is anchored on what we call hope. Hope. Are you following me? When the believer is able to live on the principles of hope, that's what the gospel of peace is. You see, it's believed that a tree at the scent of water will survive no matter how the place is dry. Do you know how people die? It's when they lose hope. Hope. Yes. The preparedness of the gospel of peace, what it produces is hope. As long as the believer can still hope in God, my hope is in God, there's nothing that will make him take matters into his own hands. One of our sisters who is outside went through a very serious situation recently. She lost her scholarship and lost the school she was schooling in abroad. Can you just imagine? You have done 1 year. Are you following me? Then you lose scholarship because you didn't get an internship, which is not your fault, because they said the language you are speaking is a barrier, so they cannot take you. And the school refused to help you to get an internship. And said, because you didn't do the internship, we will not let you further your education. And because of that, she lost her scholarship. She lost the school. And she was left with only 2 weeks for the expiry of her visa. If it was what you lead. But do you know what hope did to that girl? Her hope was in the Lord. I said, Lord will make way. Let's hope unto the Lord. Then an idea came to her that let her apply for school of languages in the country there. She applied and took that application to the embassy, and they gave her 1.5 years. Whilst the school of languages is just 2 months. How can I need 1.5 years to do a 2-month course? From there, somebody offered that the moment she gets an accommodation, she should let her know, she will pay fully for it. Hope. You see, the devil will intimidate you. Let me show you something. The devil will always want to destabilize you from where you are standing. You see, that you are being established, but to be stabilized means that you keep standing there. No matter what, you don't move. The devil is interested in making sure that he destabilizes you. How? Through intimidation, confusion, anxiety, fear. When you release, anytime you see the devil releasing these things to you, it means that he has seen that where you are standing, the position you are, if he doesn't move you from there, he can't do anything to you. That's what Daddy Joe calls them what? The frontline what? Demons. The frontline demons, their job is to destabilize you and make sure that they have what? Hold of you. And now they can be able to deal with you. But when your feet is prepared with the gospel of peace, that produces hope. See, that hope I'm talking about is the hope in the spiritual things. The Bible said that Abraham didn't look up onto the things of this world, but he looked up onto those that are not in heaven. Heavenly things. When the believer's hope is anchored on the things that are heavenly, it doesn't matter what is happening on earth here. He is not going to leave the position. So the Bible said that Moses looked up to the wretchedness of the cross and forsook the treasures of what? Egypt. Knowing that it is better to choose the cross than to embrace what? A house of comfort and not convenient. It is this hope that will make a Christian sister to eat gari and sugar rather than opening her leg for a bangs. It is the gospel of what? The preparation of the feet. That armor. Now let me suffer. Even if I'll die, I will not do this with you. Take your job. Take whatever you want to give me. I would rather go through this. It is this gospel of peace that helps the believer go through persecution. It's an armor. It will help the believer go through it. But if it is not there, a little fear, a little anxiety, a little confusion, you abandon Christ and take matters into your hands. And you come and tell me, Pastor, God help those who help himself. Where was it written in the Bible? Where? Show me in the Bible where the Bible says or implied that when you help yourself, that's where God will help you. Can you help yourself? Even Adam couldn't help himself. God helped him. He thought he was helping himself, not knowing that what he was even using was worse. He threw a fig leaf, thinking that he is covered, and still he was naked. Anytime man wants to help himself, he's still naked before God. We call it self-effort. It's one of the greatest grave sins of man. This thing is keeping long. God is keeping long. Let me help God. Let me help God. Those of you who are helping God, where are they? Let me help God to get it faster. Oh, it's just 5 minutes. Oh, it's just this. If you do that, the devil has gotten you to shift from your established position. Now, you are on a neutral ground. He will show you pepper. When he move you from Christ, where you are anchored, the truth, now he asks you what you do to you. That is why you see, those who gave their body to secure a job or to get a job will give their body throughout to secure that job. Mark it. I'm telling you the truth. If you give your body out to get a grade, you will maintain that grade with your body. Whatever you do that is not of God, God will not come and continue for you. Mark my words. When you start, you will finish it. The hand of Zerubbabel that started this hot building shall surely accomplish it. So be very careful what you have started without God. Is the devil shifting you? That means that you are not your feet is not prepared. You are not grounded. You are not stabilized. He will shift you gradually. By the time you realize everything you are doing has no resemblance to Christ. And I tell you, for the rest of your life, if you have to give in to that guy to sleep with you before you get married to you, you will give in to many. You will compromise and keep compromising till you die. I'm telling you all truth. If you have to lie to get a job, you will lie to keep that job. If you have to lie to get a marriage, you use lies. And do you know the sad thing? The devil does it gradually. You see what he did to David? He deceived him to bring the woman in. After he impregnated the woman, he wanted to, the next grade is to what? Bring the man from the battlefield, right? When he did what? You see, so when he saved you first, he will keep on out. By the time he realized, you have gone so deep. You didn't plan to kill her. You didn't plan to commit abortion. You have sworn on your life. But it was one step that you took out of God. Now you are a murderer. And you do it again. Because you have to do it to protect the first thing that you did. I pray for you that the devil will not shift you from your position. Let your feet be prepared with the gospel of peace. The devil will do that to shift you.
Hallelujah. Let me tell you how to put on one and then we will close. Now, how do we put on the armor? Because I told that the emphasis of the armor was not about what it does. Are you following me? But it is how you put it on and you keep it on. Quick one. Let's take the belt of truth. How do we put on truth? Number one. You put on truth by receiving God's truth above any other voice. Psalm 119 verse 160. Psalm 119 verse 160.
the entirety of truth, and every one of your righteous judgment endures what? Forever. See, any voice that contradicts God's truth, you reject it. The moment you begin to reject voices that does not conform to God's truth, what you are doing is that you are putting on the truth. That is how you do it. So the first thing is, do you say, oh, you can do this. Especially those who want to attach small things to the Christian life you're having. Number two, renew your mind daily with scriptures. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Every time that your mind, when we talk of renewing your mind, it means that you look for how to live your life today based on the word of God. That's how you renew your mind. Renewing mind is, how do I live my life today based on the word of God? Every day. That's why you have to read the Bible every day. That's why we study the Bible every day. We listen to a message. Because we need an information that will guide us today. So he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So a renewing mind is a mind that every day he finds something in God's word that will guide the day for him. Are you living your life based on TikTok? Based on Facebook? Based on what some people are saying? Or it is what the word of God has what? Said. That is how your mind is renewed. And that is how you put on what? Truth. Are you on the same page? Second one. Third one, right? I'm giving you three ways of putting on truth. Commit yourself to honesty before God and men. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 25. Commit yourself. If you want to put on truth as an armor, one of the things you have to do is that you have to commit yourself, a deliberate effort that you will be honest to men and to God. If it is A, it is what? A. If it is black, it is what? So the Bible says, let your yea be what? Yea. And your no be what? No. That is how you build honesty with people. If your yes is yes, let it be what? Yes. Therefore, putting away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of what? One another. If you want to put on truth, you live a life of what? Anybody you see who is living the life of honesty is putting on truth as an armor. How to keep it on? Continue abiding in God's word. Continue. So every day, if you want to keep the armor on, the armor of truth on, you have to continue abiding in God's word. John 8:31. Write that scripture down. Reject deception immediately. Don't give it 1 second. See, some thought can just be sown in your mind. Oh, you want to think about it. No, don't think about it. Do you hear what I said? Don't think about it. No! Oh, but this one, no. What? If you give people room, they will convince you. When somebody starts to say something that is contradictory to scriptures and your principles, take your stand and say no instantly. Don't say, oh, okay, what do you want to, don't explain it. Oh, this one is medicinal. That guy is 0.0021. When you take it, like when my auntie took it last time and he had this, and no. Stop it there. Sister, end it there. Don't give room. In your thought, don't give room. Number three, right? Walk consistently in integrity. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. Let's read that scripture. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. Walk consistently in integrity. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful word will destroy them. Walk in integrity. Integrity simply means that just as you are before God, you are before men. Your secret life should never be different from your public life. Breastplate of righteousness. Quick one. How to put it on? Receive Christ's righteousness by faith. The first way of putting on righteousness, what? You receive what? Christ's righteousness by what? By faith. Believe it that you are righteous. It's not because of what you do. It's because of what Christ has what? Has done. Romans 3 verse 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. Receive it. Number two, repent from nonsense. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. See, if you have done something, you know that you have sinned, quickly repent. Repent. As the devil will use it as an accusation. Remember that the righteousness is dealing with what? Accusation, what? Guiltiness and what? Condemnation. So the moment you realize that you have committed a sin, see, and how do you know? The Holy Spirit will prompt you what you did is wrong. The moment you have promptings in your spirit that I did something, what you said is not good, repent. Say, Lord, please forgive me. The blood of Jesus, please cleanse me. You don't come on Sunday to come and repent from that sin. Repent instantly when the Holy Ghost has what prompted you. Instantly. Don't wait till your prayer closes. No. Repent at that instant. Because the devil is just looking. See, at that instant, the Holy Spirit prompted because the devil wanted to use it. So do so. We can, yes. The Bible says if you say we cannot sin, then we are lying. That means that we can be at fault. We can do something that is against God or somebody. All we do is what? Apply the blood. Make sure that we keep the armor on. Righteousness. Last one. Choose obedience in daily life conduct. Romans 6:13. Choose obedience. If you want to put on righteousness, always choose what? Obedience. This generation, obedience in us is like, I'll do what I want to do. You can't tell me what to do. This generation cannot be instructed. Obedience is a person can be instructed. Can the Holy Ghost instruct you? If the Holy Ghost cannot instruct you, how much more me, your pastor? That's why I tell you something. You frown at me and tell me your peace of mind is I will not come to church again. Choose obedience. If Holy Ghost cannot instruct you, can I instruct you? Some of your parents who have even given birth to you cannot even tell you what to do. You think you have rich? Even David, Cain. they will tell him their peace of mind. They say, oh, yeah, you are right. A person who can be instructed is a person who is what? Ready to obey. Choose obedience daily. Don't be a disobedient person. You give place to the devil. Because the devil will always want you to disobey God. That is what he did to Adam. Adam, don't eat. God, we will eat. Always remember that thing. The first way the devil will get place in your life is to make you disobey. Some of you, God will wake you up, go and pray. You don't do it. That is disobedience. You are giving place. It's not only about doing bad things. Anything God asks you to do, you have not done it. It's disobedience. And you are giving place to the devil. 12 a.m., God has woken you up. Hey, the way they sleep is sweet. Release that money in your bank account. Ask God, don't you know that? He knows. Go and tell pastor that this thing is wrong. Oh, no, I'm shy. Pastor will know that I've done it. Disobedience. That's how you give the devil a place. And you slap you all. Prevention is better than cures. Sorry, provision is better than cures. So always make provision before you are thinking of the cures. Actually, the word is prevention is better than cure. How to keep it on? Walk in holiness every day. Walk in what? Holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 to 16. Guard your heart from sinful compromises. Guard your heart. Be deliberate. Anything that will compromise you, protect yourself. So you don't see, guard your heart means I have boundaries. Christians who don't have boundaries, and when I see you, I want to slap you. Anything goes. Everybody can hug you. You take apostolic hug, Christ embassy hug. You know what I mean? Christ embassy, embraced. Sister, Abba, brother, are you a wood? You have no boundaries. You can go to a place. The brother said, come and visit me in his room. You are going there. You have no boundaries. You are not guarding yourself against what? Compromises. You are not guarding yourself. See, the thing that devil will make you compromise yourself for. You know the party they are inviting you there. Things that will go on there. It is not for the eyes. Still, you want to go. You have prayed. Odeshi. You don't have boundaries. You don't know what you can do and what you cannot do. A believer who doesn't know have boundaries is a believer cannot. You will easily be compromised. There are certain conversations you don't entertain them. Right away. Why do you want to have conversation with you about nudity and other kind of nonsense? I'll not give room for it. No, please, please. I don't deal in that. Some of you love gossip. Gossip. That is your daily meditation. And you pretend to bring people's matter. This is that the same way they carry your own to other people too. Pastor, let me move on. I'm looking for trouble for myself. Confess and forsake sin quickly when you fall. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13. How to keep righteousness on. Confess and what? Quickly what? Forsake sin when you fall. Do it. Finally, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. How do you put it on? Number one, be reconciled with God through Christ. Reconciliation with God. That's the first way. So when we accept Jesus, okay, there's reconciliation. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. The second one, learn and understand the gospel thoroughly. Learn and understand what? The gospel what? Thoroughly. That's what I'm going to teach on the gospel. We have the two gospel. The gospel of what? The kingdom. And the gospel of what? Salvation. Learn and understand them. The gospel is not about butter and bread in Kwan. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 1 to 4. Number 3. Be willing to go wherever Christ sends you. How to put on the gospel of peace is when you are willing to go wherever Christ sends you. It's, yes. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8. Whom shall I send? And who shall go? Be willing. Can God send you? Can we use you in the church? See, the work of God we are doing, the things God is instructing, the things we are doing here, God is sending you. Go here, it is preparing your feet. That's what is preparing your feet. How do you keep it on? Live at peace with others whenever possible. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Be a peacemaker. That's how you keep that thing at your feet. Number 2, stay ready to share your faith. Some of you are shy to even talk that you are Christians. How can you keep your feet steady? The moment the brother approaches you, start preaching Jesus. Obejai, are you in fear? 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. Last one. Continue walking in obedience to Christ. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6. The Bible said that when the foundations are destroyed, what will the righteous do? That's what I'm coming to tell you. I came to tell you today that if that first three armor is not there, that is the foundation, what else can you do? So learn to have the right spiritual posture. The spiritual warfare starts with the posture you have. The question I want you to ask yourself right now in prayer is, are you established? You're praying. Ask yourself, which position do I stand? That's the prayer we are praying right now. Ask yourself right now, which position do I stand in confronting the devil, in confronting circumstances? Is it a position on the certificate I have? Is it a position on the ankle I know? Is it a position of the things I have done? Or it is the position on what Christ has done? Are you secured? Whenever they ask you or you are being challenged, can you be able to be bold enough to say that I can face this problem because I'm secured, nothing will happen to me? Can you speak like David, who told Saul that the God that delivered me from the pounds of what, bear and lion, shall also deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine? Can you say that? Can you speak about it? Open your mouth and pray. If it is not so, say, Lord, have mercy on me. Help me to be established in you. Help me to be established in you. Are you stabilized? Is there any circumstances that is moving you? Are you trying to become like those who want to help God? Are you trying to help yourself? Are you forsaking the things? He said, oh foolish Galatians, who have started in the spirit and want to finish in the flesh. Have you forsaken the things, the rudiment of things you established on, because of the wind that is blowing, because of the fear that is happening? Are you ready? Are you ready? What is your spiritual posture? Because the armor is always going to define your posture. If you have the armor on, you have the spiritual posture. Begin to pray and say, oh Lord, help me to keep righteousness on. Help me, oh God, to keep truth on. Establish in the reality of the truth. Let me know your truth. This is the time that when you take the Bible and you are reading, you are praying that, oh God, show me your truth. Show me your truth. Let me encounter your truth. This is not a time to know. See, this is why this generation, we must feed on God's word, because we need to be protected. We are dealing in a very dangerous world. We are really meddling in a dangerous world. I pray for you that you will have your foundations established. The foundations of the armor established. No condemnation shall stand against you. May your righteousness be fit and properly standing. May that armor never fall off. May the truth never fall off. May your ways be girded that you can stand. You are established in the truth. May you be stabilized and ready to take on the enemy. May you never be taken unaware. May you never be taken unaware. May the enemy never take you unaware. In the mighty name of Jesus, may you be established and stabilized. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Just breathe the name.